All right, so today's going to be kind of a special Sunday. What we're going to do today, Rodney and Cindy, if you guys would come on up. Rodney and Cindy LaFrance, but it should be LaFrance. I'm not really sure. I mean, you got to pronounce it correctly, LaFrance. Okay, I will. I did. That's how I think it should be pronounced. So, LaFrance. So, you guys can sit wherever you want. So, these guys have been a part of the church for some time, and they've been in the Vineyard for a long time. And they are moving. They're going to go back to Maine to go and be with their majority of their grandkids. And so I thought that it would be cool today to interview them and just hear about their journey in Christ, because for a couple of reasons. I've been following Jesus for 28 years, and when I first started out, I assumed that I was going to change the world for Jesus. I was like, we're going to do this. But the longer and longer I get into following Jesus, the more I realize that just finishing well is so powerful, like incredibly powerful. And I also know that finishing well is powerful because as I have followed Jesus for 28 years, I've seen a lot of people not finish well. That is something that I have seen for a multitude of reasons. And so seeing people who are finishing well, granted that you guys make it, I assume you guys are going to finish well, but they are. I mean, these guys are amazing people who have lived a lot of years and lived for Christ and done some really cool things. And so I thought it would just be good for us to be able to hear from them, for those of us that are on the journey, and at the same time to be able to honor them, because I think that following Christ, staying married, doing the mundane things, doing the exciting things, and really staying faithful to Christ and each other, that is worthy of honor. And we should honor those that do that. And I don't think that we honor those that do that enough. And so this is our opportunity. It's also our opportunity to share, like, cute old photos. Tells you, I have deep pockets, man. I get things accomplished. Isn't that cool? So, because I think it's on the one hand, we're all getting older, and yet most of us just don't see that process happening, and then all of a sudden we're like, wow, this happened really quick, you know? So, yeah, so can we can get both mics going at the same time, Todd? Yeah, cool. All right. I have no scripted questions.
Well, you should.
I know I should, but I don't. I don't.
I have one.
You have one? Go ahead.
Where did you get that?
I can't say. Secret. Facebook. Where else do you get anything? Yeah, I went onto your Facebook account today and looked through your photos, and we're friends, so I can look at your photos, and so evidently that means I can download your photos.
Actually, that photo is probably the beginning. Has anyone gone and seen what's called the Revolutionary Revolution?
Oh, the Jesus Revolution?
The Jesus Revolution? Yeah. That's kind of the beginning of where we came from. That's what we looked like when we first started following Jesus. That was back in the day.
Yep. Back in the day. So now, how long have you guys been married?
51 years.
Wow. And so how did you guys meet?
Oh, we met in the surfing area at the beach.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was with his girlfriend.
Oh, he was at his girlfriend. Oh, really?
But then we didn't really connect until like a year or two later. So, yeah.
And were you guys following Jesus when you guys first got together?
No.
No.
I was saved when I was 9, but I wasn't really walking. Mm.
Did you guys grow up in communities that, or in families that followed Jesus?
No, I did go to church mm-hmm. for my whole, like, young years. I was in a Christian Missionary Alliance church. Mm-hmm. But my parents, they really didn't even get saved until later years. Mm-hmm. But we went to church. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether you'd say that was following Jesus or not. But, yeah, they felt it was important.
Okay.
For me, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and which I have to say is still kind of rooted in deep down in my heart. Really is. I have a lot of fond memories as a kid going through all the traditional stuff that they do in the Catholic Church, which sometimes we throw out the baby with the bathwater, and I think that that's what we did with the church for in many different ways. You know, having First Holy Communion, so you had to go through some things to really understand when you were taking communion, what it really meant. And then there was another ritual that they do, and it's called confirmation. And that's another. That was another one where you really understood what you were making a commitment to. And then I had my first encounter with Christ. It was called Teens Encounter Christ. I was in high school, and it was an amazing time where... actually, it was the priests were doing this. It was during the charismatic movement in the Catholic Church, and that's when I had my first encounter with the Holy Spirit. It was pretty powerful, and it has stayed with me since then.
What, for those of us that might not know, what does charismatic mean?
The charismatic movement, I don't think it's just Catholic, but it was gifts and gifts of the Spirit that were moving in the church at the time and still are. The gifts of speaking in tongues and prophetic words and healing and all those other things.
So like biblical stuff.
Biblical stuff. God at work.
God at work. And so what happened to you in that moment where God touched you?
That's a good question. I went home that weekend, and so my mother said to me, or my grandmother said, she goes, "So what was it like?" And I said, "All I can tell you is," I says, "I can't explain it with words." I says, "I was just overwhelmed by love. And I couldn't even point a finger at it. All I know is that I felt loved. And I hadn't experienced it like that ever before." And I didn't come from a very huggy family. But that was the turning point. I became a huggy guy. And my parents didn't know what to do with my hugging.
So you would hug them regularly, and they were...
I would try. They would just... It would be like a side hug.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know, they kind of dipped
in. So would you say at that point in time, after that experience, that you, like, were a follower of Jesus?
That's a great question. Was I following Christ? No. I had my times similar to what you were talking about, and your past was like getting involved in drugs and alcohol and different things like
right.
that. So I was out there partying.
Yeah, okay. And so then, Cindy, when did you start following Jesus?
Probably, all through school I was in church, but I didn't really follow Jesus. And then I went to college, and that's when the partying started. And then when we were married, we had some friends who got saved, and we used to sit around campfire talking about the Lord, and I think that's when we really started. Mm-hmm. And we fellowshipped for years. Then we were at a church that had a big split, mm-hmm. and we said, "That's it, we're done," and we didn't fellowship for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. But when we started again, it was in like 1990.
It was in 94. You left out a little bit of there. The church that we were a part of, they were doing a church plant. This our first church that we were involved in. And so we jumped in and were a part of that first church plant. And the pastor was 23 years old. And we were 26, 27 at the time. So we were just these young kids just experiencing something that was, you know, amazing to us. And we had the hippie band, back then it was just, they were singing, their music sounded more like Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And so it was a lot of fun. And then as the church grew, it started out when we started, we were about 50 people. And in a year's time, was 350. And so it grew really fast. And then our pastor that was 23, he said, hey, he said, I want to take this to California. So he came out to California, because here we are living in Maine. And when he came, he went down to Southern Cal. And he came back and he says, hey, I found this new church that's happening. This is in the mid-70s. And he said, this guy, his name is John Wimber, and he's got this thing going in California, and I think that it would be, you know, something that we should do here. He came back to try to get, it wasn't called Vineyard back then, because John was still not in the Vineyard.
Right.
And so he wanted to get, you know, just change the way the church was, because it was more of a word of life type of church, which there's nothing wrong with that. But, wanting to move more in the spirit, and the church just didn't go for it. They said, you can't come back and start something, you left. And then that's what the split was about.
So then the split happened, and you guys split.
We were just saying, just because of the way it was handled, it wasn't, you know, the way it was handled, we didn't, you know, and that was a mistake for us too. We were immature, so we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah. What would you, so having experienced what you guys have experienced and being, one of the things that happens to all of us in church is both we get to experience God's grace, wonderful community, but we also experience pain in the church and because of the church, to be honest. How have you guys navigated the pain, like the church split, or other things that have happened to you throughout the years, but still stayed tied to the church?
This is another good question. You want to try?
Do I want to try? We didn't navigate it well then. Mm. And in retrospect, we grew. We learned we were actually following a man, the pastor, mm-hmm. rather than Jesus. Mm. We had our eyes on him. He was a very gifted preacher. He was great with street people and just did a lot of outreach. And we just following him instead of the Lord. What else?
Yeah, I think what Cindy said, you know, we really didn't transition. We should have, we just jumped off the ship, and which was a mistake. On our part, but that pastor was great. He's the one that really got us introduced to Mercy Ministry and reaching out to communities. So we were not in church very long before we just jumped into street ministry and everything else. And we were involved with he would take us. We'd go into the bar rooms and just go hang out there and just listen to the bands, but also just being able to talk to guys in the bars and stuff like that. And he liked to drink with them, and it got to the point where it was not good. He kind of lost his way as well.
Hmm. So you guys would say that you didn't necessarily navigate it well, and you were following a person instead of
exactly,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then what brought you back?
I call it the divine wedgie.
You got a divine. Has anyone else had a divine wedgie in the room? we got one. All right.
Yeah. It was a wake-up call. I was sharing with Sean last night. I got, during those years of absence, I got heavily back into surfing almost all the time. I was at the ocean and then just back into semi-partying, I would say. And real quick, I got back into it to the point where I did a lot of winter surfing. In Maine, when you winter surf, it's basically unusual because it's snow gear. You're wearing heavy, heavy wetsuits, and the water temperature is probably 33 degrees, and air temperature is probably 10. You know, that's when
it was icicles on his beard.
But anyhow, I had somebody that asked if they could film me and do a video on me and stuff like that, and the Divine Wedgie happened based when I saw what I was saying, when I watched the film, I thought, who is that guy? And I remember at that moment, just my whole body came, just this rush of coldness. I just felt this frigidness inside my body. And I had kind of like the Wedgie was a semi-nervous breakdown. And I just knew, I said, God, could you love me again? That was my question. And I went sleepless, many, many nights where I just wasn't sleeping, and it was bad. I wouldn't want to go through it again. It was hell.
Mm. And did you find out that God did love you after that?
Yeah, he never stopped. He's going like, I never stopped loving you. I remember one particular point in time when I asked him that question, and I was laying flat on the floor because I had to just be in a place that I learned how to be silent during those years and how to do silence. And I was laying on my back on the floor, just not listening to anything, just being still. And as I remember the moment I was going up my flight of stairs where I lived. We lived in a two-story house we built. And I heard him say my name. And that was enough. I heard him say, and I was like, wow. I know it sounds simple, but it was profound for me. It was life changing.
And so then you guys started back up with the main vineyard, and then you guys ended up going to Costa Rica for 9 years?
9 years, yep.
We started at a very large, 350 Vineyard Church, and they planted another church, which we were part of, and we became co-pastors with another man and his wife. And it came time for the youth group to go on a mission trip, and the youth pastor wasn't able to go, so the pastor said, "You guys are going."
No, we're not.
I don't want to go on my first mission trip with a youth group. That was being really selfish. We went. We had an amazing time to see just these kids minister the way that they did with just fervor. And yeah. One of the young girls led a 95-year-old man to the Lord. Mm-hmm. It just was cool. And that's how we sort of got into the mission-minded vein.
Yeah.
What would you guys say, so in terms of like hearing the voice of God, what would you tell us or other people on how to grow, or what would you just tell us in terms of like how to grow in that, to be able to hear God's voice?
You have to listen. And oftentimes the Lord's voice, you'll say, well, what was that? Was that my thought? But it sounds like you, and you have to listen and pray. And ask to hear his voice.
There's another part too, and when it comes to transitioning, there's always peace. And the crazy thing is not one door opens, but usually there's like three doors. I don't know if anybody's experienced like this. All of a sudden, there's three opportunities. And so it was having peace to be able to step into what, we felt the Lord was bringing us to. We never really had, like, me personally, I never had, like, do this. But what we found is there would be these open doors. And then there was always, like, an end of grace when you were someplace and there was no longer grace to be there or to be in this place. And it was like, okay, something, I guess transitioning is happening. That's not the case here. The case here, as far as us transitioning, is not that. But typically transition would be grace. When we were done in Costa Rica, the grace to be there was, there just wasn't there any longer. We were just like, all of a sudden it was becoming a work, it was becoming a burden.
I'm trying to think of how you mean. I know what you mean, that you, you're getting frustrated with things that didn't frustrate you in the past, or you're
didn't have the patience. Things we weren't seeing them as we saw them at first, or even after, like even 7 years in, we were still like, let's do this, let's go, you know. But we were tired. But then the grace was gone, and we also knew too, because we had raised up a young man to pastor the church at that point in time. We were like, man, this guy can do a better job than we can for sure.
So then in terms of like hearing the voice of God, Cindy, you would say that oftentimes it sounds like your own voice, but then there's this peace that's associated with it, that doors seem to open because of it. So if you hear the voice of God and you take that step of faith, what you're saying is that you'll find like a tailwind, or you'll find doors that open up and not resistant to that, because it's just like the Holy Spirit guiding you.
Yeah, and you do feel the peace. You can move forward without worrying about things, you know, just when you hear that voice. You also will feel, I will get butterflies in my stomach when I have something specific given to me. Just an example. I was praying for somebody once, and I just heard, pray for this person's gut. And I'm like, oh, great. You know, how do I pray for this gut? So I just prayed peace over this person's digestive system. And that was that. And she said afterwards that she had been sick all night. So it was just one of those things where you don't always know, and you don't always get it right either, you know. But I think that if you think that you have a word for somebody from the Lord, the way you verbalize it, you can step out and speak it.
Right? Okay. Yeah, that's great. What habits do you guys have? And then I want to talk about your marriage, but just the last part of like, in terms of creating a relationship with Jesus, God of the Bible, to where you're able to trust him enough to obey him, because as far as when I read in Scripture that it is about having a relationship with him to where we obey him, but obedience requires trust, because if I don't trust him, I'm not going to obey him because I don't have to obey him. So how do you nurture that relationship? What have you learned through the years on a daily, weekly, monthly rhythm that helps you to create that relationship with him to where you can obey him?
Go ahead.
Prayer. I'm often really bad about being disciplined at Christian practices, but prayer is what keeps me on track.
And so by prayer, what do you mean? Like you get on your knees every day? What does that mean?
I'll say, oh God, just about everything.
Okay, so you throw out a bunch of oh gods.
Yes.
That's good.
You know, I think being grateful and thanking him for everything, and just, I often have to say breath prayers, like you inhale and say, Heavenly Father, and you exhale, I am your beloved, or, you know, you're my beloved. But breath prayers are something that kind of keep me on track.
Okay. Wait, last question I want from you, Cindy. You said you're not that good at the spiritual disciplines. And so I think this is interesting, because a lot of people would probably also say in the room that you're not good at them as well. Like, I don't like them. I'm not good at them. They're difficult for me. Are you okay with not being good at the spiritual disciplines? Is that like a
negative? Sometimes.
Okay.
But sometimes, no. Sometimes I beat myself up.
Okay.
You know? And because Rodney is very disciplined. So I often compare myself.
Oh.
And I'm not supposed to, I know. But I know that I'm loved.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that's one of the most important things. That's at the beginning. If we're loved by God, then we can love him back. We can love others.
Mm. Okay. Awesome.
Just to say, as far as the disciplines go, everybody does things differently. Mm-hmm. Everybody does. And I know, Sean, you often say, I read a chapter a week or a day. Yeah. Every day you read a chapter.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
You do or don't?
I do not.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't read a chapter a day. I might read four words.
Oh, okay.
I might be in one portion of scripture for 2 years and just stay with it and just keep reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it. You know, for just, it could be still and know that I'm God, and I could just stay with that until I get it. Mm. That's just me. I don't move on to get something else. I just stay with something until it just is, it's here, still it sinks in. So that's one of the disciplines I do. Mm. I practice spiritual disciplines, silence, mm-hmm. solitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an introvert, so I kind of like just being alone. Mm. I don't have a problem with that.
Excellent. I mean, I think hopefully at least what I'm taking away, which is something I try to communicate, is there is no one-size-fits-all spiritual disciplines. However, spiritual practices are like things that we hesitate to say ought and should, but we ought and should be doing them.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they help us to grow, but there's no one size fits all. So then if you do breath prayers, you do breath prayers. You have to figure out the rhythm that works for you. So then transitioning on to marriage, because I think everyone in the room would be interested in how you make it. Was it 51 years?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what would you say, how do you pull that off? Like, what have you guys learned through the 51 years on how to have a healthy relationship?
You want to go first?
You can go first.
One of the things is that we do life together in many, many just ways. We do it. We do all kinds of things together, and I was a contractor, as a general contractor for years, and she worked with me when we did that. There was a short period of time when she was in school, she was working as a librarian, but that was the only time that basically that we didn't do life together, but we pastored together. We were in the church. The way the vineyard works is you get two for one, and Sean knows what that's all about. When you get the husband, you get the wife. And that's how that works. But so we've done life together and through it all. And go ahead.
I mean, of course, we butt heads now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay to disagree about things. And we always would come to some sort of conclusion or agreement. But never go to bed angry mm-hmm. is the big one.
Okay, hold up. Like, you guys really did that. You never went to bed angry.
I don't think we did.
Pray for me right now. Yeah, how many weeks did you stay awake?
I mean, I don't know how you could go to sleep being angry, you know? I mean, just...
You don't sleep well.
Well, that's just
it. That's for sure.
That's what comes with it.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
No, I mean, and it wasn't because that's what the Bible told us to do.
Okay.
It was because it's just what love told us to do.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible is.
Dude. I'm like, I'm going to bed. I'm done with this. All right, that's convicting. All right, that's good. Yeah, laugh it up, Adam. Okay, so you guys never went to bed angry. Wow. That's wild. All right, so anything else that you would share with us on how to stay married?
Last that long?
Yeah.
I'll jump in on what she, Cindy, we were very different from one another. I mean, almost opposites. And I would say that she just was so patient with me. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and I've shared this before, it's interesting when Paul said in Corinthians 13, when he talked about what love is, he said the very first thing he said love was love is patient. And so from that, when you're patient, you're actually being love. I mean, it's even part of, it's in the fruits of the Spirit, too. When you're looking, it says love, patience, joy, you know. But patience is really, what do they call it? Patience is a virtue. Is that how that goes? I would say that is being patient with one another and understanding each other is learning that that it's okay to be different, and it's been good. It really has been good. We've had a wonderful, wonderful marriage.
He's patient too. I mean, he never even got mad, even when I took out the garage door. So
you took.
I backed into the garage door.
Oh, you took out the garage.
And it wouldn't open or close.
And he didn't get
mad.
He
never got mad. But we are different. He's very active and likes active sports, and I would just as soon stay home and cook and read and
do
that kind of thing. So,
okay,
but that's okay.
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah,
just value your spouse, value one another, and just see, look for the gold, look for the nuggets because it's there. That's why you're married. Yeah, and you know, we did a lot of marriage counseling through the years that we...
You guys went to marriage counseling.
No, we did.
You did marriage counseling.
We did marriage counseling when we were pastoring, both in Maine and again in Costa Rica. They had people, you know, and we enjoyed doing that. We enjoyed just hanging out with people and discovering, you know, ways to see their marriages be restored. And sometimes some marriages weren't, but for the most part they were.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, we're going to... We're getting close to wrapping up. So this is kind of how I'd like to. It's not their last Sunday. I think it would just be great if you guys prayed for us. So, and however you want to participate in this is how you want to participate in this. But I think we'll just take some time. One of the things that you can do, you know, body posture is really meaningful in our relationship, you know, with God. And so oftentimes if we want to receive something, like if I came up to you and I was going to hand you $100, you'd put your hand out like this, unless we were going to do like some gangster handoff or something, but more than likely it'd just be like this, right? And so I would hand you $100. So if we're going to receive something, we just have our hands out like this. And so in terms of like following Christ and being faithful as long as these guys have been faithful with hiccups, like we all have hiccups, and or being married or being in a relationship, I think it'd just be really cool if you guys prayed for us along those lines and, you know, blessed us like we see like in the Old Testament, you know, like people laying hands on and just blessing children, you know? And so you guys are, you know, spiritual parents, grandparents, and so if you would just bless us, that'd be awesome.
Father, I thank you for this fellowship, and it's been one of the places that's been a great place for community, family. A place, it's another one of the Vineyard's love shacks. That's what they call a lot of Vineyard churches, Lord. And I thank you that they, that in so many ways they look like that. You go and you just can't help but experience the love that's in the place. So, Father, we bless this fellowship abundantly again. Lord, we look forward to hearing the news of the growth that happens with the vision that they have for the future, for the children, the teenagers, and everyone that here that attends. Lord, where there's marriages, Lord, Lord, we ask that that they would see that all things are possible in Christ, and that they would dream big, Lord. For those who think, well, hey, I'm too old to go on the missions, Lord, let them find out that they are able, if they have something in their hearts, that this is a place that could send them, that this is a place that would support them in their dreams to think big, to do big things. We thank you, Lord, for the outreaches that are happening here. And Lord, let them continue to be creative as a church for ways to reach the community of Reading. Lord, we thank you for this town. We thank you for this city that you are doing a work here. And Lord, we thank you for the work that's happening. And Lord, we know that there's more to be done. And Lord, that the churches would come together and work together in making things happen here, Lord.
Lord, I pray for each and every person here that they would be able to listen and hear your voice and hear you speaking your love over them. Lord, I pray that you would fill each one with your precious gifts, that they would know what their gifts are and have the courage to step out and use them to bless others, Lord. Just ask, Lord, for their ears to be opened to you, their eyes, Lord, and their lips to speak your words, Lord, that they would speak love over everyone that they meet.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
All right, we're going to take communion. We do this every Sunday. Cracker represents Jesus' body that was broken for us, and the wine represents his blood that was poured out for us. So the way that we do communion here, if you want to take communion, you just come down this center aisle like this. You grab a piece of the cracker, you dip it into the wine, and then you go around the sides like this so we can have a good little flow here. If you are a follower of Jesus, or if you would like to start following Jesus today, then the communion table is open to you. So if you would like to take communion, please come forward. Well, Lord, we thank you for this time this morning to be able to spend with you. We thank you that through all the days of our lives, that you are present with us, you are loving us, you're with us. If we feel like you're near, it's because you're near. And if we feel like you're far, you're still near to us because you are faithful to us. We are thankful for your faithfulness. We thank you for coming and living amongst us, Jesus. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and taking our death. And we thank you that you conquered death in the resurrection, and that we too one day will be a part of the resurrection of the dead with you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's partake. All right, well, why don't we stand? Couple of things. If you do want to join us for the potluck afterwards, then you just go downstairs. We'll start setting up, and we'll eat in a little bit. If you did want prayer for anything, if you felt like something that Rodney and Cindy said, just in terms of like faithfulness, marriage, if everybody got prayer for not going to bed angry, it'd be a little bit too much, so just a couple of you. But if you did want prayer for anything, we would love to pray for you. I mean, it really did feel like what a wonderful thing to be able to experience. I mean, it felt like a holy thing for me to be able to hear from grandma and grandpa in the faith. And it's super cool. So if you want to pray for anything, come forward. If not, I'm just going to pray for everybody right now. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you love us. We thank you for your word, the Bible, Lord, that you have given it to us, that we could know you more, that we can study it and learn about you and learn about who we are in this story. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're with us in the midst of all of this and that you give us the gift of community. You give us the gift of grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters in the faith to be able to journey with, Lord. So we thank you for the gift of community and Holy Spirit that you create that. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would continue to dwell in us, around us, that you would open our eyes to the things that you're doing in our life, that you would open our eyes to the ways in which we can share your goodness with other people, and that you would open our hearts and our minds to be able to hear your voice and to be able to step out and obey you. So we thank you and we love you and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.